So we are starting our series and we are finishing our series on Ephesians. And what an incredible journey it has been. A story and a book written to a people who found themselves in the midst of racial divide, in the midst of uncertainty around different things. And it's an example. The church should be an example to the world of how different people can get on and treat each other. Jews, Gentiles, Greeks, slaves, men, women. We should actually, as churches, not be the place of division, but of actually of unity bound around our common need for God's grace. This is what keeps us humble. This is what brings us together, and this is what the message for the Ephesian church was, that God's grace will cover all these things and that we are in need of his grace, his unmerited favour. None of us deserve it, and yet God gives it to us anyway. And the reminder of how important these last couple of months, how important the church actually is in the place of the world. Let us be on the positive side of that. Let us be known for our love. Let us be known for our unity. Let us be known for the fact that we show grace to people. Let us not be known for other things. This is what the message was to that community back then, and it is so relevant to us as a church, even right now. This morning, we're going to be looking specifically at verses 18 through to 20, just those three verses, and then we're going to bring it home at the end as we share communion together with the last few verses. And if you've been here the whole time, I hope you've gotten something out of this. I hope you can say, I know a little bit more about this incredible book that Paul wrote to these people all the way back then. And I believe you do. And I believe there is a strength in you. And I believe you've been changed. I believe God has brought you a long way as we've studied and opened the scriptures. It's funny how it almost accidentally happened that we stumbled across this book and thought, let's delve into this. And how for the last 3 months or so as a church we've done that. You're finished. Now we get to celebrate what God has done. And he has changed you. And he's brought you closer to himself. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 through to 20. Feel free to read along in your mind on the screen. But I'm going to read you aloud these few verses we're going to look at this morning. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. And pray, this is Paul talking, and pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly exclaim God's mysterious plan that the good news is for the Jews and Gentiles alike. I am in chains now, still preaching this message as God's ambassador. So pray that I would keep on speaking boldly for him as I should. Paul wants to bring it home to the heart of the matter, your relationship with God, evidenced through your prayers to him. Pray for me too. There's also this personal element that this is a book written by a man who was in prison at a certain place at a certain time, and there's a global idea, this whole issue of racism, Jews and Gentiles and all those sort of issues that were embroiling that church and now are embroiling the church worldwide. It's come on. We need to be better than this. And the church should actually be at the forefront of that. We shouldn't be the ones stoking the fire or behind it. We should be the ones that are leading the way. This is what he was saying all those years ago. The church should be at the forefront of this. But the personal idea there, the personal situation that he found himself in, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. He wants to emphasize this idea of prayer. And it reminds me of the story that Jesus tells in Luke chapter 18. Two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, the other was a despised tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer. Can you imagine? I thank you, God, that I am not like other people. And out of the corner of his eye, he spots the tax collector who's not even in the main part of the temple. I thank you, God, that I am not like other people, cheaters, sinners, adulterers. I'm certainly not like that tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give you a tenth of my income. Can I just stop here for a moment? You know, we're all laughing at that guy and thinking, oh, thank goodness we're not like him. Do you know, I was having a discussion with someone last week, the Pharisees were actually a lot more like us than what we would care to admit. They were actually the good people. They were the people that went to temple. They gave a tenth of their income. They tithed. They did the right thing with their money. They were actually the good religious people that dressed well, that presented well. And if we're honest about ourselves, we can often look a lot more like this than what we would care to admit. But what Jesus is interested here is in the attitude of prayer and how we come to God, the heart that we bring to God when we pray. And this is the despised tax collector. But the tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Just think about how he is thinking about God here. What's his mind's eye about God? He would not even lift his eyes to heaven. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, "O God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner." I tell you this, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. There's a beautiful verse in the book of James where it says, God draws near to the humble, but the proud he knows from afar. The great equalizing message of the story of Ephesians is that all of us are sinners. And we've got to be reminded of that. We've got to remind our own heart of that. That we're all sinners. Some people stay away from God. Some people feel shame. Some people stay away from church because of their thoughts about themselves, that they are not worthy of God's grace. But in fact, it's those that understand they're not worthy of his grace that get to experience the presence of the Holy Spirit and get to be justified and made right. The attitude that you come when you come to God, that you would have that humble heart, that humble attitude, that your prayer would be, Lord, look at where I am at. Take me closer to you. The humble God draws near to. The next scripture. Pray at all times and on every occasion. You know, prayer can be such a thing where it feels sometimes like it has to be in church and it has to be formal, and sometimes you don't get the words right, you don't get the words correct. But Paul makes it really clear that we are to pray at all times on every occasion. When I prepare my messages for Sunday, I'll often practice them two or three times, and I'll come to the stage and I'll actually do it here, which seems a bit ridiculous because I could obviously practice it anywhere I want. But it feels good to me to come here and do it because I can think about what it's going to look like and what the room is going to feel like. You can pray anywhere you like. I'll also practice it when I don't have to bring food to church on Sunday morning in my car. When I'm walking to church, I'll practice it then as well. Prayer is a similar thing. It is good for you to pray with other Christians. It is good for you to gather together and be with other believers in your connect group or at church. It's good for when the pastor is at the front reading out prayer requests for you to be able to say amen in your seat. There is something that is incredibly powerful when a group of Christians gather together and pray together. We sense the pleasure and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our midst. But I'll also pray when I'm making a coffee or when someone's serving me a coffee, when I'm down at the cafe, when I'm driving my car, when I'm walking the dog and someone looks at me strange. I'm not praying aloud. I'm praying in my heart, my mind. Pray at all times and on every occasion. Prayer does not have to fit a mold or a way of doing it, but it can. And sometimes a read prayer and a prayer that's read out of a book can be just as moving as a prayer that comes from the heart. Paul just wants to make it really clear that we can pray at all times and on every occasion. And the reason we can do that is because we have in our hearts and in our minds God's presence, the presence of the Holy Spirit. Interesting, of course, that everyone can pray. Whether they are a Christian, a church-going, Bible-believing Christian or not, people will pray. Isn't it interesting when a crisis comes upon a nation, when the Twin Towers came down, the nation was called to pray. When other disasters happen, even our secular media will say people are going to pray. What God are they praying to? Which church are they praying in, or which temple, or whatever it happens to be? So with us, and I don't want to be misunderstood, but I do want to say that everyone can actually pray to God. And I want to say that because I want to go right back to the very beginning of the scripture, Genesis 1:26. We are made in God's image. Every single human being is made in God's image. And what that means is not that we look like God physically. We all look so very different. What does God look like? That verse is not about being made to look like God. What that verse means is that every single human being has in them the capacity to connect with the divine. You study philosophy. You look at music and what people write about, Christian or not, and they will talk very much about wanting something that is beyond themselves. The rest of creation, your cat, your dog, your tree, your plants, your rose bush, none of those have the capacity to connect with God. They may reflect the beauty and the creativity of God, and you may feel when you're out in nature that you may sense God's beauty and his creativity there. That may be an experience for you. But none of those things have, as you do, the capacity to connect with God. And every single human being that has ever lived has that capacity to connect, to sense the divine, a God-shaped vacuum. And so every one of us has the capacity to pray. But for the believer, there is something that goes deeper. And this is what Paul is encouraging us to do. He is encouraging us to pray in the Spirit. To pray in the Spirit. When you become a Christian, when you become a believer, when you enter into God's family, the Spirit of God is within you. You receive the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. God's presence is there. You can sense it, you can know it, you can go deeper with God. Psalm 8. When I look at the night sky and I see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you set in place, what are mere mortals that you should think about them, human beings that you should care for them? It's true, isn't it? Go out in the night sky and you look up, and you gaze into that incredible vista. And it's a reminder of how small and insignificant we can feel at times. But it's also a reminder that, you know, as magnificent, as eternal, as huge as God is, what are mere mortals that you should think about them? Human beings that you should care for them? We ask that question. The fact that every human being has the capacity to think about the divine, the supernatural, something beyond themselves, points us toward God. And as Christians and as a church, this is something we should want, that we would go deeper in our prayer life. It is something you should want, that you will be able to pray in the Spirit. Jude verse 20. But you, dear friends, must build each other up in your most holy faith. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. The language of this verse is very similar to language in Ephesians, where it talks about praying in the Holy Spirit. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. When you pray, you get to tap into the divine. It's an interesting conundrum, isn't it? that the God of the universe, who knows everything and is all powerful, would ask us to pray. Why, in fact, does he need us to pray? Why do we need to pray? Why does Jesus say, be persistent in your prayers? Why does he give the illustration of the unrighteous judge and having to knock, knock, knock? Why does he say, seek, pursue your prayers? If he's the God of the universe, it doesn't seem to make sense unless you think about it in terms of actually being a relationship. Your God desires that you would pray to him because he desires that you would depend upon him, and he desires a relationship with you. It's not merely a transactional relationship where you pray and you get this. God is so much more interested in you. And so that's why he wants you to pray. It's a relationship with him. Maybe we should just take a moment to pause and for you just to think about your prayer life. To think about the last time you got down upon your knees. Maybe just to think about when you were in anguish and you really needed God, where you really wept. Maybe where you felt alone. Maybe you want to think about a time where you've really experienced the presence of God in a very powerful way. When things are very distressing in my life and when I really don't know what to do, these are the times where I am driven to prayer. And there's something wonderful that often happens in those moments where, although the problems are not solved necessarily, sometimes they are, there is a sense that comes into my heart and into my life, and I'm sure many of you would say the same, where you feel that peace goes beyond understanding. I'm reminded of the time last year when I was driving up through Karingini and I was coming out of Tom Price. It was very early in the morning and the sun was just poking up behind the red and the mountains and some green, and I had my window open and my arm outstretched out of my car as I'm all by myself, there's no one else around, and it was just a moment of joy. Just sensing the presence of God all by myself in my car, praying with my eyes open. Prayer doesn't always have to be this anguish and when things are really bad. Prayer can be this moment of joy where you're just sensing the joy and the pleasure of God in your heart, in your life. I don't say that to you so you'll say, well, I never have had that. If that's what you would say, I've never experienced that, I want to encourage you, you can. I want to encourage you that the more you seek God, the more you will actually experience the presence of the Holy Spirit in your prayers. It goes much deeper than someone just crying out to a God whose name they don't even know. It's praying in the Spirit. Last week, Manny gave us a fantastic illustration about the Roman soldiers, and I've actually found a picture of it on the screen. And he talked about how praying for each other as a church and gathering together as soldiers, and here's a picture of what they do. They had the shield of faith and they would join these shields together top and bottom, and they could march on the enemy and they could feel protected and they could feel safe because they had the shields all around them. Do you know that your responsibility is actually to pray for your church? Your responsibility as a member, as a person that comes to this church, you are to pray for Inglewood Community Church. Why? Because this image is there for you. We are actually to pray for one another. One of the beautiful things about being in a church is we get to pray protection for each other and encouragement for each other. When I come here on a Sunday morning, I pray that every seat will be filled. I literally pray over every seat. I pray that every seat will be filled and that the person that's sitting in that seat will hear from the Holy Spirit this morning. If you hear things about people in your church, you can gossip about that, which would be terrible. You can feel like you want to share the news, or you can just quietly pray for them. But what a beautiful image it is that you would have other believers praying for you. And this protection, this shield of faith surrounding us. This is an image of the church that we would pray for each other. Let's go a bit deeper with praying in the Spirit. Romans 8, 15 to 16. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Fearful slaves. Anyone this morning want to say, not out loud, but you want to say, I feel like a fearful slave? I feel like I'm trapped? I feel like I don't know what to do? Instead, you received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. So that there may be a way you feel, but this is the truth, that you are one of God's own children. Let me take this a bit deeper. Some of you will know what this means. Now, we call Him Abba Father. What that means, if we want to put it into our language, is Daddy. Now we call Him Daddy. We don't call Him Father, you know, like the Von Trapp's Sound of Music. You know, march here and blow the whistle and the children all come running. That's not the picture that is given here in this scripture. The picture is of a daddy with a young child coming rushing up to him. He's come home or something. The child runs up and knows that there will be that embrace, that warmth, that strength, that security, that love, that acceptance. So in your prayers, the attitude we take on, isn't this, I mean, this is mind-blowing, people, that the God of the universe, Holy of Holies, enthroned, and yet your relationship with Him is Abba Father. So when you sit down or you stand up or you drive your car to pray, the posture you take on towards God, Abba Father. For His Spirit, and this is the beautiful thing, His Spirit, His Holy Spirit that is inside of you, joins with your spirit to affirm that you are God's choice. You should feel that. That should be what you experience. I experience that affirmation from God that I am His child. When you pray. And then going on a bit further in Romans 8, 25 to 27. And maybe we're delving and pushing a bit deeper into this praying in the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for. But the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. That, I mean, we can't gloss over this piece of scripture. To understand what's going on in the heavenlies and what's going on even in our own hearts and in our own lives, this scripture has so much to say. So let me paint the picture that you are in anguish and you don't even know what to pray for. Ever been in that situation? I've been there. Lord, I don't even know what to pray for. Well, don't use words. Don't even use words. Express that. Lord, I don't know what to pray for. I don't know what your will is. I don't know how we're going to get through this. I don't know what the solution is. And as you go deeper and you're praying in the Spirit, it's like something deep within you. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit who lives in you, He will pray for you what needs to happen because He knows. Isn't that amazing? The Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. This is praying in the Spirit where you go deeper in your prayer life. Some people talk about praying in the Spirit and they equate it with tongues. And I believe people do speak in tongues. I believe people have that been given that gift and that ability where they can express things that they don't necessarily understand themselves. And there is that gifting that some people in this church have upon their life that is wonderful. But that's actually not what this is talking about. Not all have the gift of tongues. This is actually, what this is talking about here, I believe, is actually for all of us. For you, when you just don't, when you've got to that point where you don't even know what to pray for, the Holy Spirit will help you in your weakness. Because the Holy Spirit is in your life. You are a believer and it's deep. Spend time with Him, pleading, bringing up what it is. God may change your heart and your mind in those moments. What you find yourself praying for, God may say, well, actually, I'm going to shift that a bit. What may actually happen is actually your heart will be changed in that moment. And what you thought you needed to pray for, in fact, God will show you something deeper and something better, because you will come to Him humbly, not telling your slot machine, Father Christmas, what to do, but saying, Lord, this is what I want, this is what I see. Do that, pray specifically, by all means. I really mean that. But at the same time, be willing to accept that God may have something different for you as you humble yourself before Him. Paul goes on in the letter and he prays for courage. He asks the church. So he goes from this global idea of praying for everyone on every occasion, praying in the Spirit. Now he's asking the church that he will have courage to preach the things that he needs to preach. I do think that often you know what it is that God wants you to do. By all means, pray for wisdom if you don't. But often, isn't it true that there are things that God, you know God wants you to do, but you just don't have the courage to do it? That's been my experience. I find it interesting that Paul, this great apostle who wrote this letter and many others, still finds himself in a place where he needs the church to gather around him, bring their shields of faith, and pray that he will have courage to preach the word. He found himself in prison. It was towards the end of his life. And he just wants courage. He doesn't want to fade out. He wants to push that volume up and pray for courage. Finally this morning, as we come to the end, prayer, when you pray, affects heaven, changes earth, and changes you. I've talked a lot about prayer this morning and about prayer in terms of your relationship with God, but I just want to remind you again that prayer, for whatever reason, and I can't say I fully understand exactly why, but prayer for whatever reason is what God has given us that we can affect heaven. I wanted to almost say change heaven. I don't know theologically where that sits, but I do want to say that it seems to me that God asks us to pray that things will change and happen. And there are stories and moments in the scripture where people have prayed and God's heart and mind has changed. Maybe it's this. Maybe there is someone in your life or even a situation, but perhaps let's go with the person that you want God to work in their life. Can you imagine in your prayers, you are actually bringing that person and shining a spotlight on them that heaven may see them. Isn't it interesting that your prayers are actually that powerful that you can bring them to God's attention? If your perception of God is of Abba Father, a Father who loves you, a Father who wants to be involved in your life, then maybe that's not such a stretch. But when you pray, you can actually affect heaven. Change earth and change yourself. Because perhaps primarily, as we go deeper with this prayer and as we go deeper with our prayer life, in fact, it's one of the key things that God does is to change us. Particularly when we come before Him like the tax collector and humble ourselves before Him. So maybe this morning is a reminder for this week that if your prayer life has stagnated a bit, if it's feeling a bit cold, if you're no longer sensing the presence of God as deeply as you once did, maybe today is a really good reminder to get back to that, to pray at all times, on every occasion, in all different ways to God. He wants to hear from you. He wants to be close to you. He wants to answer your prayers. And I believe this is a word for someone here today. Don't give up. Don't give up praying for whatever you've been praying for. Don't give up, because God hears. And I pray and I believe that maybe the answer is sooner than you think. It's been really good to share Ephesians with you these last few months. I've really enjoyed all the different perspectives, and I've enjoyed bringing the depth of it to you. We have one final deep dive this week. I hope you find and remember these things that we've shared with you and you say, that's been good.